It was just over 6 years ago that former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher died at the age of 87. But truth be told, she could have, maybe even should have, died much earlier. During the first term in office in the fall of 1984, Margaret Thatcher went to Brighton for a government meeting. While she was there for the meeting, she went around her normal routines for the day, and while she did, a bomb exploded in the nearby room of her hotel. It was a bomb that was meant to end her life. While Margaret Thatcher survived the attack, four of her dear and closest friends died in the bombing. During the next few days, Thatcher stayed at the conference and did the best she could to maintain a normal schedule and a normal life. But then that weekend, Sunday came, and the Prime Minister went to church. Now, this was not unusual for her. Margaret Thatcher went to church on a normal basis, but this Sunday, well, it was different. That Sunday morning, the candles, they seemed to glow a little brighter. Rays of sunshine coming through the stained glass windows of the sanctuary created an unusual glow around the pew where Margaret Thatcher sat. And on that Sunday morning, as she worshiped, Margaret Thatcher began to cry. It dawned on her as she sat in that pew in that worship service that service, that day, was something she was never intended to experience. She could have easily died just a few days earlier. That Sunday, that beautiful, glorious Sunday morning, as she sat in the pew and as she worshiped God, Margaret Thatcher realized that her life, every moment of her life, was a gift that she might have missed. This morning, we gather together for worship. Our situations are very different from Margaret Thatcher's situation some 35 years ago. For us, this time of the year is often hectic and busy, but fun and happy and full of celebrations. Summer is almost here. Our schedules are about to change and adjust some over this summer months. School is almost over. Some are graduating and going to new schools or new experiences. We're ready for summer vacations. Our moods are celebrations. We're happy. Different from Margaret Thatcher's experience. But there is a similarity that we should note this morning. As Margaret Thatcher sat in her pew on that Sunday morning, she was reminded her life is a gift. And so are we reminded of that same truth today. Now, I know. We've heard this message so many times that to hear our life is a gift almost sounds meaningless. It's a cliche at best. But every so often, every little while, we need to be reminded that our lives and every moment of our lives are a gift from God. Now, life doesn't always seem to be a gift. There are times when, like a roller coaster, sometimes we're going up. It's fairly smooth. The ride is comfortable. As we get to the top, we have a good view of life around us. As we ascend to these heights, maybe sometimes we forget that it is the gift of God that has enabled us to get to that place. We might even begin to think that we have climbed the ladder by ourselves, and we might even find ourselves thinking, look at this wonderful life that I have created for myself. We're on top of life. Sometimes it's easy to forget that our life is a gift. But then there are those other times. There are those times when we have crested the hill and now we're zooming down. The bottom drops out from under us. Life becomes too fast. It becomes too rough. It becomes too turbulent. And in those times, we find ourselves thinking, why do I have to live this kind of life? What did I do to deserve this kind of life? One of the amazing things about Jesus is that no matter where we are in life or no matter what we are currently experiencing, Jesus has a message for us. In fact, this morning, in this one very simple story, Jesus is able to provide a message for those of us who are experiencing abundance and prosperity, while at the same time offering a message to those of us who are struggling, anxious, and maybe even depressed. And his message comes through the simple story of this farmer. In our passage for today, as I mentioned before, Jesus has been teaching about the things that are really important to him. He's talking about things he wants people to know when he's gone. Look for these warnings. Look for these signs. These things are so important to him. But there's a young man who is in the crowd who's paying no attention to Jesus. He is preoccupied. He is thinking his own thoughts. He's in his own little world. And even as Jesus is talking about these important things, this young man pipes up and he says to Jesus, "Yeah, Rabbi, listen, I get all that. I understand about warnings and concerns. I hear what you're talking about. But I need some practical help. I need you to tell my brother to share his portion of the inheritance with me. You see, my brother is keeping all the money with the family right now, from the family, and it's not right. You know it's not right. Tell him he needs to share my portion of the inheritance with me." Now, my translation of Jesus' response to this man goes something like this. Jesus says, "Are you serious? Have you been listening to what I'm talking about? Hey, listen, I'm talking about things that are really important. Have you been paying any attention to me?" I mean, the way Luke says it, he says, "Man, who appointed me a judge and arbiter between you? Are you serious?" Jesus says, "You're not listening to anything that I say." So let me tell you a story. Maybe you'll listen to the story. And he tells a story about a farmer who the most important thing in the world to this farmer is building barns. This farmer was blessed with an abundance of crop, Jesus says, but instead of sharing his crops, instead of thinking about how can he use those crops to help other people, well, he just thinks about himself. He has hoarded and saved as much as possible. He's planned for tomorrow. He's worried about tomorrow. He is living in his own future. In fact, so much of his time and energy and effort is spent on tomorrow that he can't live today. You know, I wonder, what if we could go back in time and talk to his widow? What if we could go back and talk to his wife after the farmer died? I wonder what she might say to us. Maybe she'd say something like this: "He was a good man. He really was. He just didn't have much time. He was so busy. I mean, the work of the farm, it was endless. And we had crops that were good year after year, and it was a blessing. In fact, last year's crop was so good that he wanted to save as much of it as he possibly could. So he started tearing down the old barns that were kind of small so that he could build bigger barns and he could save as much of this good, bountiful crop as possible. It was a huge task building those barns. It required all of his time and energy. He couldn't even sleep at night. He was constantly thinking about building these barns. He was dreaming about what he was going to be able to do or needed to do to get the barns built. He would think about what life would be like once he could get the barns finally built. His life was kind of on hold while he built the barns. I might have made it worse. I kept asking, when will it end? When will you ever finish?" And he would say, "Soon, in a few months, it won't last forever." And then he said, "And you know what? I promise, when we get these barns built, life is going to be great. We won't have to worry about anything. We'll have all of our crops stored up for years to come. We can sit back, kick back, take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. One day soon. But I guess that day will never come. Now, she says. This parable, this simple little story, it is such a powerful lesson about life. There's so much that we could talk about today about the times of abundance and prosperity in our lives and the times of scarcity and difficulties that Jesus talks about here. But you know what? The thing that stands out more than anything to me is this. There is often in our lives a tremendous gap, a gorge, a valley, a chasm between what we say is important in life versus how we actually live our life and spend our time. You see, so often we talk about the things that are important, but we spend so much of our time doing other things. And Jesus is saying there is often this gap, this chasm, this gulf between what you say is important and what you do. And here's the reality. No matter what we say is important in life, how we spend our time shows what we believe to be most important. As I read this parable, I tell you the truth. I believe this farmer. I believe him. I believe that one day he wanted his life to be different. I believe that one day he anticipated his life was going to be so much better. I believe that one day he believed things would be different. Why? Because I so often live my life exactly the same way. To a certain extent, we are all guilty of postponing life, of missing the present gift of this moment. We catch ourselves saying or thinking things like this: one day, I'll stay in touch with my friends better. One day, I'm going to eat more healthy. I'm going to exercise more. One day, I'm going to spend more time with my family. One day, I'm going to slow down and I'm going to enjoy life. One day, I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible more. One day I'm going to be more involved in church. One day I'm going to start focusing on things that are really important in life and doing those things. One day very soon, that's how I'm going to live my life. As soon as the barns are built, as soon as I graduate, as soon as I go to college, or as soon as I finish college, as soon as I get a job, or as soon as I get the job that I really want, as soon as I get a promotion, as soon as this big project at work is complete, as soon as the children or the grandchildren are finished with school, as soon as work slows down a little bit, as soon as I adequately fund my savings and my pension plan, as soon as I retire, as soon as my health improves, as soon as I feel better, one day, it's not that we can't do the things that are important in life. It's just that we often postpone them. We put them off, and we do things that seem to be important in the moment, but really have very little, if any, eternal, lasting value. Time is so short, and everything else is so long. Dylan Thomas wrote, "Time, like a running grave, tracks you down." Ben Hecht says it this way: time is a circus. It's always packing up and moving away. I think there are times for all of us when life and time is like a bus. And we go to the bus stop and we want to get on the bus, but the bus is pulling away and we run out in the street and we're frantically waving our arms and we're saying to the bus, we're saying to time, we're saying to life, "Wait, hold on, I want to get on, I want to ride, just give me a few moments to catch up." But the present moment of life, living life, is a gift. It's always just out of our reach. I was thinking about driving a car when I was thinking about this sermon, and maybe we've all had this experience where you pull up at a traffic light that's red and you're behind someone, the light changes to green and the person in front of you just sits there. You ever have that experience? I'm not very patient in that experience. I blow the horn like those 3 seconds are going to make a huge difference in my life. But we've all been there, right? Either you're the person sitting at the light lost in thought, or you're the one that can't wait for them to move. Or maybe even a better analogy when we're driving a car is you're in the car by yourself and you're driving, and then all of a sudden you realize you don't remember the last 5, 10, 20 minutes. You've stopped at traffic lights, you've stopped at stop signs, you've changed roads, you've changed lanes, but you don't remember any of it because you were lost in thought. I wonder how often that happens in our lives. We get so caught up in the circumstances of our lives that we miss the present gift of this moment, and we wake up thinking, where did all the years go? Where did the time slip away to? Here's the question. Why do you build what you build? Why do you build what you build? Every person here this morning is building something. We build barns, we build businesses, we build families, we build faith. We are all building something. Why do you build what you build? I've shared with some of you before an experience I had a few years ago. I was at a conference that was being held on the beach, and the conference got out a little early one afternoon, so I went out to sit on the beach, and while I was sitting there on the sand, I watched this family, two parents and a little girl, she was probably 3 or 4 years old, build a sandcastle. They were in that area of the beach between kind of the dry sand and where the water was coming in, where it's a little bit wet, and they were making this sandcastle, and it was a good-sized sandcastle, nothing you would probably want to stop and take a picture of, but it was nice, and they had worked really hard on it, and I sat and watched them. They were having a wonderful time. But I kept thinking, you know, in just a few hours, the water's coming in. It's all going to wash away. It will all be gone. And I happened to think about this story. And the thought came to me, is this what Jesus is talking about? Is he saying we shouldn't waste our time building things that are just going to be destroyed? Is that what he's talking about? And then all of a sudden I realized, no. Building sandcastles is living life as a gift. Building sandcastles is what Jesus is telling us to do, to enjoy the moment. See, nobody builds a sandcastle expecting it to last. We build sandcastles to enjoy the moment. We build sandcastles to share an experience with somebody else. We build sandcastles to create a memory. We build sandcastles to experience the joy and the gift that is this thing we call life. Building sandcastles together gives us an opportunity to stop and to smell the roses. It is to remember that life is a gift that is meant to be treasured and it is meant to be enjoyed. You see, maybe what Jesus is saying is this. The most important things in life are also the most easily postponed. The most important things in life are also the most easily for us to postpone. Jesus says, your life was given to you for so much more than just building barns, than just planning for your future, than just worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow or in the years to come or dreaming of one day. Your life was given to you so that you might enjoy this present moment as a gift. You know, there are so many things for us to worry about. There are so many things that concern us. There are so many things that keep us up at night. Will I get into the university I want to attend? Will I make the sports team that I want to play on? Will I find the person of my dreams that I can marry? Will I find and keep the right job? Will I make it through this present crisis in my life? Will I be able to save enough for retirement? Can I live off of what I've already saved for the rest of my life? Will my children and my grandchildren be okay? So we worry and we plan and we plan and we worry and we worry and we plan. And Jesus says, look, go ahead with your plans. Prepare for your future. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't let it take away from your present joy. Don't let it rob you of the present moment of life. I've only heard this song a few times, but Reba McEntire has a song. The title of the song is, If I Had Only Known. It's a song that is dedicated to the members of her band and the crew who were killed in an accident many years ago. And basically, the song says this. If she had known that she wouldn't see them again, if she had known that that was going to be the last time she would ever see them, then she would have shared more. She would have loved more. She would have told them more. She would have cared for them more. She would have lived differently if she had only known. You know, I think the farmer in Jesus' text for today and in this story would say the same thing. I would have lived differently. I would have done things differently if only I had known. And maybe so would we. The gift God has given us is today. It is this moment. It is this life. And this moment, this life, it is sacred and it is precious. So, why do you build what you build? Let us pray. Good and gracious God, on this day we are reminded of a simple but profound truth, that you love us, you have created this life as a gift to each one of us, and it is your desire that we treasure it, and that we give you thanks for the love and appreciation you have shown to us. Lord, in all of your majesty and in all of your glory, bless us as we seek to appreciate the gift of life you've given to each one of us. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.